Okay, this week's parasha is the one real parasha. It talks about the life and times of Yitzhak Avinu. He has a very, very short and relatively, uneventful, uninteresting life. And it only looks that way. God forbid, it's not that way. We just have to understand the depth of what Yitzhak Avinu's life is about. And I want to get a small insight into that, into Yitzhak Avinu's huge contribution to the Jewish people. That's just not obvious from what the Chumash says about his life, as well as to discuss the nature of the one enemy that, the one nemesis that Yitzhak Avinu shared with Avraham Avinu. It's probably the only enemy that Yitzhak Avinu faced. And he and Avraham Avinu had this enemy in common, and that's Avimelech, the king of Plishtim. And it's very interesting that Avimelech always coming, even when he is fighting with Avraham Avinu, right, there is always some connection to Yitzchak. It's always connected to Yitzchak. Right, his first encounter with Avimelech, when Avimelech takes Sarah away, is right before the story of how Yitzchak is miraculously born. And that's why Chazal say, it's Rashi at the very beginning of this week's parasha, that Hashem Bedavka had to make Yitzchak so resemble Avram, so they shouldn't say that Avimelech was the real father of Yitzchak. And then after the story of how Yitzchak is weaned, right, then comes the next struggle with Avimelech, next to that story is the next struggle of Avimelech over the whole water rights issue, which is also the recurrent theme that Yitzhak Avinu has with Avimelech and the Plishtim, the issue of the wells, right? And then there's the story of the Akedah, right, and then in this week's parsha again, Yitzhak Avinu faces Avimelech, it's the same Avimelech, and it's the same issue. They're fighting over the wells. It's the same issue, right? And a very interesting thing is that you would think, all right, fighting wells, that happened to have been, they're fighting over water rights. That's what you would think, right? But that's not the case, right? The wells that Avraham Avinu dug, the Plishtim blocked up. And Yitzhak Avinu redigs them and gives them the exact same names. It's something that needs to look into. If the Plishtim want more water, they should just steal, the wells. Why do they block them up? That's such a waste. They could be serving the Plishti people if it's not serving Yitzhak Avinu's people. And they're saying like they want the wells forgotten. So Yitzhak doesn't just redig them, he renames them, and the exact same names. Something interesting to look into, that Yitzhak Avinu really doesn't put his own mark. He wants to preserve Avraham Avinu's mark. Right, to understand all this, right, what Avimelech is and what the wells represent. That Chazal say very deep things about what the wells represent. One of them is that the three wells that Yitzhak Avinu dug refer to three Batei Mikdashos, right? The two were called, the first two they fought over, the third they didn't fight over, and it refers to the Batei Mikdashos, that the first two were destroyed and the third will endure, that's Rechavos. Right. There's deep things that Chazal see in the wells, and it's time to try to decode that depth and understand what the Plishtim, how they stood against what the wells represent, the depth that the wells represent, and why it's Yitzhak Avinu who's the real answer to the Plishtim. Right? Yeah. Avraham Avinu, right, was the one who taught the whole world that not only is there a God, many people were aware, had some type of awareness that there's a creator, but that, God is master of the world. And that's something which people successfully were able to block out of their consciousness, that God is master of the world, right? And that the world is his, right? And the world needs him. The world cannot run independent from God, right? So those things people are able to block out of their consciousness. And Avraham Avinu is the one who breaks through and makes it, you know, Avraham Avinu didn't just come to that conclusion himself. He wants the whole world to know. And he goes out and he preaches. And we spoke a few weeks ago that also by stone, that's the message he wanted to impart. He Av Shem is Kone Shemayim Varetz. You know, Avraham Avinu wants to spread this realization. Not just, he's not satisfied coming to it himself. He wants it to be part of the global consciousness. And this is the secret, that Avraham Avinu wanted a son, right? He didn't want a son for self-aggrandizement, you know, that a person doesn't feel, you know, totally fulfilled unless he has a son, right? But what Avraham Avinu wanted that he couldn't be happy with, he couldn't be satisfied just having Talmidim, because a son will do for a father's legacy what Talmidim don't do. Talmidim come, Talmidim go. Talmidim sometimes stray from their Rebbe's teachings. Like all Avraham Avinu's Talmidim, now Nefesh Asher Asu B'choron, right? All the people that they, all the converts they made in Choron, they all fizzled out. Right? It didn't endure. According to some opinions, even Eliezer, the faithful servant, did not keep the faith. According to some opinions, he became Og Melech HaBashan, who had to be killed. You know, there are different opinions in Chazal, but according to some opinions, anyway, Eliezer was not, did not remain the faithful servant after Avraham Avinu's demise. He didn't stick with it, according to some opinions. But a son is dedicated to a father's legacy, just like a son keeps, you know, the family line going, right? And the son also will keep, you know, will inherit the family business, so will keep the business going because he inherits it. You know, the son also has a special dedication to the father's spiritual legacy. And that's what Avraham Avinu wanted for a son, because he knew that, God forbid, if he doesn't have a son, there'll be no one committed enough, right, to keeping his message alive. Right? So in order to be continuity, right, that's what he wanted a son for. And that's why, by no coincidence, Yitzchak Avinu's Midah, his main attribute is Gevura, might, strength. Because that's what you need to make something enduring and lasting. It has to be strong, right? Avraham Avinu's Midah is Chesed. His Midah is kindness. Now, kindness is nice, right? And it shows faith. But kindness lacks strength, focus, and determination. That's what Avinu wanted added to his legacy. Strength, focus, and right, and endurance, because right, that's what's going to make it lasting. That's why, by no coincidence, right, his son is outstanding attribute, as we well know, is Gevura, because that's what's needed. Strength is what's needed to keep something permanent and enduring. Strength, intensity, and that's what Yitzchak Avinu, he's not interested in being creative, right? His interest is to keep it going. So he redigs the wells, calls in the same name as Avraham Avinu, right? You know, the Midah of Gevura is not creative. The Midah of Gevura is committed and strong, right? You know, focused, right? And that's what it is. He keeps the focus, right? That it shouldn't, what Avraham Avinu shouldn't dissipate, right? So now, here's a very deep thing, right? In Lashon HaKodesh, the word Be'er, well, has two meanings. One meaning is a well. Another meaning means to clarify, right? Like Hoyo Moshe Be'eris the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to clarify the Torah. And Chazal say the way he clarified the Torah was that he sent it over in 70 different languages, right? So it should be, you know, very, very clear. Now, you might ask, you know, what does one have in the common with the other? Like, what's, you know, what's the commonality between a well and an explanation, a good biur, a good explanation? So I'll tell you, you know, it's like this. A well, you know, digging a well gives you access to the water, right? If it's whether the water in the well came from the rains, or whether it's the source of the well is an underground type of spring, either way, you have to dig a well to get access to the water. The well doesn't produce the water. The water either comes from the heavens or comes from an underground spring. But, you know, the well is, you know, it gives access to the water. You dig a passage to the water, and down that passage you can pass a bucket and pull up the water. It gives access to the water. That's what a well, it gives access to the water. That's what a good explanation does for an idea. An idea could be true, but inaccessible. an explanation makes the idea accessible. You give access to the student you make the student be able to access the idea by explaining it well to the student. So that's the well by which the student can draw the idea. The idea is true anyway, but the explanation makes it accessible to the student who doesn't know the idea yet. And if you say it over in many different languages, you'll make it even more accessible and more accessible. So that's what an explanation has to do with a well. They both make, you know, the object accessible. A well makes the water accessible, and an explanation makes the idea accessible, right? And that's what, you know, throughout Tanakh, Hashem says, "Volti azu makor ma'achayim lechzuzem be'aros baros nishbaros." They abandoned me, the spring of life-giving waters, right? To dig for themselves, you know, deficient wells that can't hold water. That's, you know, the metaphor of abandoning Hashem and the Torah for the secular culture and secular knowledge, right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu likens, you know, access to being aware of Him and access to the Torah as having a well from which comes forth living waters. And that's what Avraham Avinu did. It's by no question the philosophical significance behind the wells that Avraham Avinu dug. It goes beyond just, you know, trying to, you know, have water, right? There's a philosophical significance behind the wells that represents how Avraham Avinu was mevaer. He clarified to the whole world. He gave the whole world access to what was always true. It was always true that God's the master. It was always true. But Avraham Avinu wanted to give the whole world access to it. Right? So Avraham Avinu opened up the well that accesses the waters of truth that Hashem is master of the world. Right? And Avimelech stands against that. Right? Now this, you know, this path that Avraham Avinu dug for us, right? This well that he uncovered for us, that God is king, you know, it culminates with the coming of Mashiach. Right, Avraham Avinu taught that it's true, and that faith is supposed to become part of human consciousness, and that faith, you know, goes from being not just a faith, but to being a undeniable physical reality with the coming of Mashiach. That's why Hashem LeMelech HaKol, that when Mashiach comes, God will be king upon the whole world, and that's the whole Mahalach, right? The whole sequence from Avraham Avinu to Melech HaMashiach. And that's really what, you know, the two sides of the well, this tunnel that Avraham Avinu dug, you know, as it were, the two sides of the tunnel, the two openings of the well, you know, the waters and, you know, it's, you know, and then where the waters lead to, you know, that whole tunnel has two sides to the tunnel. That's the aspect of the tunnel that's by the water, and the aspect of the tunnel where the waters emerge, right? And the two sides of the tunnel is Avraham Avinu and Melech HaMashiach. Right, and Avraham Avinu wants, you know, wants descendants that will carry on his legacy to make sure that we keep the passage open. That it's not just going to be a faith that the whole world's aware of, a conviction that the whole, that's part of global consciousness, but that this conviction becomes so strong that mankind will merit to see Melech HaMashiach. So it goes from Avraham Avinu to Melech HaMashiach. It goes from Av, our patriarch, to Melech HaMashiach. Avimelech, his name is Av and Melech. Avimelech stands against the tunnel that leads from Avraham Avinu to Melech HaMashiach. He wants to block it up. And that's what the Meshilach says, you know, the Heilige Meshilach, the Ishbitzer says, that Pelishtim is Miloshin Mefulash. You know, when a tunnel goes, when a hole goes from one side straight through, you tunnel all the way through from one extreme to the other, it's called a Nekev Mefulash. A street that goes straight through, you know, that doesn't come to a dead end. It goes straight through from one end to the other end of the city. It's called a Mavui Mefulash, right? An open street, right? He's Melech Plishtim, Avi Melech. The power of the Plishtim was to stand against, to be an anti to Avraham Avinu making a Nekev Mefulash in global consciousness. Right? The Avinu shouldn't make a tunnel, a successfully make a complete tunnel in human consciousness. Right, that should become a permanent part of human consciousness that God is king, right? Which would culminate with the coming of Mashiach. They want to block up that passage. That's what it means. They want to block up They want to block up the wells. They want to block up that which Avraham Avinu clarified. So they want to steal the wells from Avraham Avinu, not because they need more water. They want to steal the wells from Avraham Avinu so they could block them up. They want to fight Yitzhak Avinu on the wells also, not because they want water, but because they want to block it up. They want to block up the passage that's been opened up. They want to close up again the access to the truth that God is king. They want to, you know, block it up from human consciousness again. The well that was opened, the wellspring of ideas that God is king, they want to block up that wellspring again, right? And they're against that Avraham Avinu's, you know, legacy should continue. That's called making the well permanent, making a absolute hole in human consciousness where this idea that God is king could seep through and never be blocked up. They do want to block it up. And that's the secret, that when Avraham Avinu, Abimelech took Sarah, so he was punished with constipation. It says that he and his whole became constipated. Because that's why he wants to start up with Avraham Avinu. His fighting of Avraham Avinu is to block Avraham Avinu's legacy from becoming a permanent fixture in the human consciousness, which would culminate with the coming of Mashiach, right? He wants to block it up, and that's why Mirka, he's surprised with being blocked up. He's all blocked up. He's constipated because he wants to, as it were, you know, block Avraham Avinu's legacy going forth and continuing. So that's why Mita Kenegami is punished with constipation. Right? And is the secret that his adversity with Avraham Avinu is always related to Yitzhak, always borders on the life of Yitzhak, and that's why it also continued with Yitzhak, because he's against that particular aspect of what Yitzhak Avinu represents. How the Mida of Gevura continues Avraham Avinu's legacy. It doesn't let it adds that might, that strength, and that focus, that laser beam focus that cuts through, that burns through. That's what the Midas HaGevura does, and that's what Yitzhak Avinu dedicated his life to doing. Yitzhak Avinu dedicated his life to make Avraham Avinu's contribution to the world permanent, right? And that he doesn't want to have his own identity. Right? The Midas HaGevura is just there to reinforce, right, the truth that's there already, that it should stick and be permanent, to give it that strength and that focus that it shouldn't dissipate. That's the secret of what Yitzhak Avinu is, right? And that's his special unique contribution. He doesn't want to make his own innovation. He wants to make it permanent. Right? So he redigs the wells and he calls them the same names. And that's what Avimelech is so much against, the Yitzchak factor. And that's why even his adversity with Avraham Avinu somehow always relates to Yitzchak. Right, is against Avraham Avinu becoming permanent. Right? Yitzhak Avinu is always against against Avimelech wanting to block Avraham Avinu's legacy. That's why Avimelech's adversity against Avraham Avinu always interrelates somehow with Yitzchak, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to block Avraham Avinu, and Yitzhak Avinu's Midah of Gevura breaks through and keeps the focus, burns through, and that's what Avimelech wants to stop. Right? Avimelech wants to stop the path that leads from Avraham Avinu to Melech HaMashiach. He wants to block up the tongue that goes from Av to Melech. He is Avimelech. He said, it'll start and finish here. I'm not letting it continue. Right? And that's his secret. Yitzhak Avinu redigs the wells, and he keeps Avraham Avinu's legacy permanent. Yitzhak Avinu's unique contribution to the Jewish people is to make Avraham Avinu's legacy permanent. That is the secret of Yitzhak Avinu's life. And that's also a secret that the wells they bring, digs, allude to the three Batei Mikdashos. The Batei Mikdashos are where a person can see with his own eyes that God is king of the world. You see the divine presence there. And that's the secret, what the Navi says in the future, Yetzu Mayim Chaim Yerushalayim, that from where the Beis HaMikdash is will burst forth, you know, a wellspring of water. You know, because the wells and the Batei Mikdashos both represent the same thing, right? They both allude to the same thing. They run parallel to each other. A well gives access to the hidden waters, and the Beis HaMikdash gives access to the hidden truth that God is king of the world. So the Beis HaMikdash makes it accessible, like a well gives access to waters that used to be out of reach, and that's Yetzu Mayim Chaim Yerushalayim, that we'll be able to draw Ruach HaKodesh easily, draw truth and clarity from the Beis HaMikdash in the future, same way you draw water from a well. right? Right, so this is the secret of Yitzhak Avinu's life, right? And this is the unique character of how Abimelech stands against the Jewish people. And this is the secret significance of the wells that all represents giving access to truth that God is king, and Yitzhak Avinu makes that access, Avinu opened up, he makes that access permanent.